not feeling well? Working?
Working.
Working? It's all right. Keep him busy. That'll keep him out of trouble and all that. All right. Good singing. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on. How's that? Is that it? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Daniel tonight, in the book of Daniel. And Daniel, and as we look there and that chapter that's there this evening, we want to see about chapter number 4, and we'll look about verse number 1. If you find the place you're able to stand, let's do that. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you, thou God. Beside thee, there's none else. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free is our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight concerning a message that all the people and all the nations, it's a worldwide message that they ought to hear. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, as you well know, that he was the king, a worldwide king over Babylon. And you'll find that as a result of that, God began to stir up in his heart. He was sitting in his house, and he laid down. He took a nap, went to sleep, and he had a dream. And, of course, it troubled him whenever he had the dream, and it was about the end time and about his kingdom and finally being replaced, replacing him as king with somebody else. And it really troubled him, and he got to the place in his life. He got all of those magicians, soothsayers, and people that were under his regime, but they couldn't tell him anything about the dream that he had had. There was a young man that was captive over in the land during that time, and he knew about him. His name was Daniel. And as a result of it, he had him brought in and told him about what was going on and so forth. And Daniel was able to exalt the name of the Lord and magnify God and tell him that these are the things that are going to happen in the last days in the latter years. As a result of that, you're going to find out is that here's a man that has enough sense to be able to know that he's not just fooling with a God. He's fooling with the Lord God of glory, somebody that's far above what he'll ever dream as a leader. He's talking about the Lord God Almighty, and he wants to acknowledge that it's a message that all the world ought to hear. In this lesson here that you're looking at, let me tell you what it does, is that whenever you come to the place in your life is to where that you are recognizing God has brought you to a place or to the end of the road, if you will, please, is that it'll make you want to cry out to God and exalt and magnify his name together. In verse number 27 of chapter number 4, he said, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." In other words, what God is trying to say to you and I is that every now and again that we ought to examine our own heart and our own life and to find out that if we're walking in the path of righteousness or if there be some adjustments that ought to be made on our part. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, he's talking about the holiness of God, no doubt about it. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul made a statement. He asked a question one time, and he said unto people that were round about him, and said, the fact that I've told you the truth, and how was it that he puts that? Is that whenever you come to the place to where you're going to deal with God, God's going to be honest, God's going to be up front, and are you going to become an enemy of God because he tells you the truth? That's what we're talking about. Paul the Apostle asked some of those churches and said, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" See? I got to tell you right now is that when you begin to look into this lesson here, here's a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Here's a world leader. Here's a man that doesn't want no if, and flattery. He wants the unadulterated truth. And as a result of that, God has raised up Daniel in his regime to be able to find that out. Now, in this lesson here that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that what he needed was a true confession. Even a king sitting on his throne. We've got a leader, the president, and all of that business there. And I don't know if you got to go and vote yet or not, or if you already done it and so forth. What, I got a couple of days left. Let me just tell you, we've got a whole regime of people that need to realize that what God wants for them to do is break off their sins by righteousness. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, all across the country, the president of the United States showed, of course, you know, naturally Miss Kirk and it's sad about her husband being assassinated and all of that and all that business there. But as they went talking back and forth and this and that and all that business there and wanted to build her up and build Mr. Kirk up and so forth and on, and even though he's gone and he's talking about a great turning away, that this man's life has caused a great turning to God in the nation. That's not true. They've got a religious movement going. You know how you can tell if somebody's turned really to God? Preach on liquor drinking a while and see how. Preach on fornicating and adultery and dope. Preach on that for a little while and see how good they are. See? You know what would stop the average Baptist church building program? Preaching on sin and causing people to see it the way God sees it. That's exactly what would end up happening. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that these people here that were in captivity and during that time, there's a passage somewhere in 2 Chronicles. That's where it's at, in chapter 6. And here's what God has told them, that if they ever did get to the place they were in captivity. And you can look, turn there if you like, or you can just listen to it. But in 2 Chronicles, in chapter number 6, and verse number 37. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, here's what he says in verse number 37. He said, "But if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and they turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and we have dealt wickedly. If they return unto thee with all their heart," there's the key, "and with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, whither they have been carried, them captives, and they pray toward the land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from heaven, and even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee." Now, you know what he's saying there? He's saying, listen, I had a house built for my name. And I told everybody that if they'd pray toward this house, if whenever the drought came, they'd pray toward this house, God said, I'd open the windows of heaven and give you water. When sin was running rampant, if you prayed toward this house, the house of God. Now, you know, in the day and hour we're living in, people are growing up and thinking with the ecumenical movement, like you've witnessed even this week by the own president, and all religions and every religion all have some good religion in them. I'll tell you what, you can't just go to church anywhere and get a hold of God and God get a hold of you. Here's what he said, if you're where you ought to be and what you ought to be doing, and as a result of that, God begins to move in your midst, then if you will raise your heart and in prayer and thanksgiving unto this place and this house that God has built, I can tell you right now, you know the Bible said the house of God's a gate to heaven. And make no mistake about it, you're going to find what we need in the day we live in is a real, true, heartfelt confession. I'm talking about not just a buzzing of the lips, but a real confession that comes from God. Second of all is, in this lesson that we're looking at tonight, you're going to find out there ought to be a real concern. You know, God sees us exactly the way that we are. Make no mistake about it, you're going to find out that God sees us and God knows us better than we know ourselves. And there ought to be a concern in the day and hour that we're living in about the direction that we've been heading. There's a consuming, if you will, please. And as a result of that, there will be a time to where that not only, you know, when's the last time that you really felt bad in your heart because you'd sinned against God? I'm not talking about because of the fact that nobody else could ever know it. I'm just talking about you and God, and you were just sorry that somehow or another that you've not even called upon His name to be thankful unto Him. I got to tell you right now, I'm thankful all every day. I try to remember to pray for you individually. I try to remember to pray for you and all that business there. And not only that, but I also try to pray for these boys and girls that are growing up, knowing that the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to be pulling at them right and left every step of the way. Now, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference whenever you're like one of these little boys here tonight or one of these little girls here tonight or whatever. Only God knows it's going to be coming our direction and all that. But as they get older, it becomes more complicated. You're going to be dealing with stuff that you tried and pulled when you got to be a little teenager. I don't remember doing any of that. Well, there's the first thing you ought to get right and straighten up with God is men relapse and lying. Yeah. You see what I'm talking about? There's no way to be able. Listen, be sure your sin will find you out. And in this day and hour that we're living in, let me tell you, if there was ever a time that we needed revival, it's in the day and hour that we're living in. And I can tell you right now is that before we ever have that, we're going to have to call upon God. It's going to have to be a prayer that's going to be honest with God. It's going to have a true confession in it. It's going to have to be calling upon the name of the Lord. And make no mistake about it, it's going to take a powerful inspection about who you are and where you are and what you're involved in. Let me say that again because I see what I'm talking about. There's going to be some personal instruction that God is wanting to give somebody. And I'll tell you right now is that whenever God's giving you a personal inspection and personal instruction, make no mistake about it, He knows exactly where and what you are and what you're doing. Now, you know that's never going to happen and you're never going to want that until you end up doing like Nebuchadnezzar did. He is resting in his house, took him a nap. And he woke up because it troubled him. And that's what we lack in the day and hour we live in. We just need God to trouble us about what He's concerned about. See? All that business there, and we were thinking about, you know, and every now and again, something across our ways and our paths and all that business there. And let me just tell you, you've got more than you can say grace over right now with your own family. I can remember years ago whenever Brother Rocky, he just wanted to have what we have, and now he does. Plus two or three heart doctors. See? Oh, it looked a lot better from the outside than it does on the inside. This is a rough bug. See, I shoot honest. I shoot with mine honest, you know. We're sitting around, and Nathan, he wasn't there today, and we were eating lunch and all that right there, and somebody had asked about and this and that and so forth and on and all that, and some of them said, well, I'm hoping this and hoping that, you know, hoping the best for him and this new baby. And I said, yeah. You think you're amazed? I'm amazed he made it to puberty. Some of you don't know what that is, but you will when you get there. I don't mean that ugly. I'm telling you right now, I'm amazed at several of you over that. Made me pray especially extra hard for you. in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you right now, Nebuchadnezzar was a man that knew, even though he was a world leader, even though that he had a worldwide empire, he was concerned about what God had troubled his heart about. And I'll tell you every now and again, that's the reason why people walk down the aisle and they're nonchalant about it, get in the baptistry and leave out. And they ain't no more saved than they were before they ever got in it. And they're no more saved than whenever they, you see what I'm talking about? And the reason why it's that way is because of the fact they needed a powerful instruction and a stirring that came from God. And let me tell you right now, yes, he won't miss a lick. Let me say to you in closing here that, if you will, is that you better have pure intentions if you're going to talk to God and you're going to listen to what God had to say. Your intentions better be pure and better be that which will honor him. You know, the Bible said we ought to redeem the time, and the reason being is because it's running out. And one of these days, the end of the road's going to get here. And I want to tell you right now, the devil would like to get you so busy with yourself and busy with whatever else is going on that you have no time to be able to talk to the Lord and get instruction that comes from God. Now, all these youngsters that are here tonight that are not saved, I'm praying and trusting in one of these days they will be. Have you prayed for my new grandbaby, whatever it is? Have you prayed for that to get saved by the time when it gets time? Well, I don't want you to start next week. We want to start from the time we've heard about it. See that? And so you can probably do a little catch-up praying if you want to. But, hey, you ought to be praying for every one of these boys and every one of these girls that are here. You ought to be praying for those that are conceived and yet unborn, and praying that God will have his will and way and move upon them in such a mighty way that they'll come to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, I can tell you right now, I'm not anxious, as you well know, in all these many years, just to see somebody else come down the aisle. I'm tired of watching people walk down the aisle nonchalant, popping their gum. I don't see none of you like that here tonight. And then turn around and go back out, and they listen to all the acid rock they can and all the queers and lesbians. And they've got all their heroes are in the world that are godless and just wicked. You know. And I can tell you, is that the reason why it's that way is because nothing really and truly happened deep down in their soul. When God saves you, he'll change you. And not only that, but he'll do it for all eternity. I wonder tonight, do you realize and know that one of these days that you and I are going to stand face to face before the Lord? And I'm glad it's so. I'm glad, though I couldn't save myself, that he was able to reach farther down than I could ever reach up. It's just good to know him in the free pardon of sin. I wonder tonight, can you say that as well? I hope you can. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed. Now, Father, we want to say thank you for loving us even while we've been.